Ohio State's 2023 recruiting class got a little heftier yesterday. We'll talk about who joined this exclusive group, why I agree and somewhat disagree with what Gene Smith says about a way to improve college football. And Ohio State had a hole on its basketball roster. That hole is finally filled. You can hear all that right here on Locked On Buckeyes.
You are Locked On Buckeyes, your daily podcast on the Ohio State Buckeyes. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is up, Buckeye fans? Welcome back to another episode of Locked On Buckeyes, part of Locked On Podcast Network. I'm your host, Jay Stevens, also the host of the Jay Stevens Podcast. It is Thursday, May the 5th. In the year 2022, and today's episode is brought to you by Bet Online. Bet Online has you covered this season with more props, odds, and lines than ever before. Bet Online, where the game starts. I would also like to thank everyone out there for making Locked On Buckeyes your first listen of every single day. Ohio State's 2023 recruiting class is getting bigger, it's getting better, and it got a little heftier just a day ago. Four-star interior offensive lineman Austin Sirivelde, an Ohio kid, committed to Ohio State, and this is something that I do believe is a win for Justin Fry and maybe a sign of things we can expect in the future. Standing at 6'5", 315 pounds, he is not only big man on campus in high school, he will also be one of the big men on campus in Columbus, a Middletown, Ohio kid. He committed to Ohio State over Notre Dame and Alabama. I liked what he said about why he chose Ohio State, and I think you will like what he had to say as well. Quote, "I just want to compete and hopefully play as soon as possible and hopefully win a natty," end quote. A kid like this right now, standing at 6'5", 315, in the interior, not someone at 6'5", 315 who might beef up to 320, 325 to play at the tackle position, but a guy that's in the interior who will probably stick at the 315 mark at 6'5" in college, you're coming in with that build, that nasty. You got to build some strength, get your conditioning up to the high-level D1 level, but you're already coming in with a great build to build upon right now. You're already coming in with the proper mindset saying, I'm not coming in to waste any time. I'm not coming in to just get my feet wet and then slowly integrate myself into the Ohio State offensive program. He believes this is a place he can come in and he wants to play as soon as possible. Now, that is something he's supposed to say. That is something that I believe a top talent like himself, the number 26 interior offensive lineman in the class, and the number 8 recruit in the state of Ohio. Both of those numbers are via 247 sports composite rankings. I believe you're supposed to say those types of things. If you're a top recruit in your state, you're supposed to think, I'm going to go to a school and play, not immediately, but maybe as soon as possible. If that means maybe redshirting a year, so be it. If that means, well, I'm not redshirting, but I know I'm going to be in a backup role and then working and striving to get on the field the very next year, great. If that means you are somebody that deserves to be on the field immediately and the coaches have to find a way to put you on the field now in your freshman year, great. But you want to have that mindset that no matter what is going on, I want to play now. I want to play immediately. When Legend Cavazos transferred out of Ohio State and stated that he wanted to go to a place that he can play now, I'm not going to knock a kid for thinking that. He's at Ohio State, and granted, the position that he is at has Cam Brown, Denzel Burke out there starting, and has two guys in Jakalen Johnson and Jordan Hancock that are backups that have concretely and have solidified themselves at those roles. So I firmly understand why Legend Cavazos wants to go out there and transfer someplace to play now. And I do think as a senior in high, or junior in high school now, being he's going to graduate next year, and Mr. Austin Sirivelde, I'm hoping that my pronunciation of the last name is correct. You know how your boy is with some pronunciations. Still working on those, because some of these last names, they're a little tricky. I like this young man. I like him a lot. I like what I've seen from him, and I do think that Justin Fry in his recruiting and how he is really doing things at Ohio State in a quick way at a position that many people have been critical about because – or critical of because some of the recruiting has not been up to par. Some of the ways that the development of players has not been up to par. And for you to come in a short period of time and really ratchet up things, crank things up, keep the intensity high and make it even higher, you got to like it, you got to love it, and you want some more of it. Austin Saravold joins 9 other players in the Ohio State 2023 recruiting class but prior to this commitment was ranked number 6 via 247 Sports team rankings for the class of 2023. They have not updated their recruiting rankings just yet, so I cannot go back and say what the updated rankings are. However, he joins this group. Luke Montgomery, a offensive tackle from Findlay, Ohio. Ty Lockwood, a tight end. Joshua Padilla, a 6'4 interior offensive lineman of his own. Mark Fletcher, a running back from Fort Lauderdale. Malik Hartford, a safety from Chester, Ohio, a safety in Cedric Hawkins. Dijon Johnson, got it right that time. Dijon Johnson, cornerback from Tampa, Florida. Wide receiver Bryson Rogers, and then also defensive lineman Will Smith. Yes, the son of Will Smith Sr., former Ohio State defensive lineman. An exclusive group. I've seen the hashtag CHO23N. I may start using that and sharing it because, well, this class is chosen. And this is an exclusive group. Not only because it's at Ohio State, but I do think we're going to see a collective group of talent in 2023 that is going to be the foundation and a building block for things to come at Ohio State. Yes, this team is loaded and talented this year. Yes, I believe they're either right under or right at the scholarship mark for this year. And not just the scholarship mark, but it's literally littered with talent, immense talent all over the board. But in recruiting, as recruits will look to see how you've done previously, how you are currently doing, and what the outlook is for the future, 2023 can be one of those building blocks that current high school football players look at and say, well, these new coaches came in, quickly changed things, quickly raised up the temperature in the room, and I want to be a part of that, not only because things are getting better in Columbus, but ultimately because things are in a way that Ohio State's going to be primed and ready to win not just one national championship, but multiple in the near future. BetOnline.net is your number one source for all your betting stats and sports info. Find all of the latest sports developments, league reviews, and news, including this year's basketball playoffs and the start of the Major League Baseball season. BetOnline is your continued source for all your sporting wagering information, from live betting to playoffs, esports, and more. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more about the trends and action. BetOnline, where the game starts. Gene Smith, the athletic director at Ohio State, I think he's been listening to yours truly. Myself and Jeff Hunt from the Off the Ball Network, a host of the Jeff Needs Sports and Jeff Needs Help podcast, him and I did a podcast episode on the J.C. Stevens podcast, I believe last year, about ways to improve college football. And one thing I said in that episode, this is, I think, back in July or August of last year, but one thing I said was that college football needs to break off from the NCAA and get a commissioner and get its own governing body. I'm not the only person that has said that. But it's been on the Twitter. It's been on the podcast. This is one of those times I'm going to toot my own horn. And Gene Smith recently had some comments about the current landscape of college football and how things can't get better. And it kind of echoed some things that I have said previously. But, I somewhat agree with what he said to say, and I also kind of disagree because, well, something he said just doesn't sit right with me. Here is a quote from Gene Smith in a brief interview with ESPN at the Big Ten spring meetings, and I just think that when Gene Smith is talking, a lot of it will sit well with you. And before the explanation I'm going to provide, you might say, well, I agree with everything he said. Hear me out. Here's what Gene Smith had to say about college football and the ways it can improve. Quote, we can create our own rules, create our own governance structure, have our own enforcement. We have our own requirements, whatever that might be. That might be in the medical space, for example. If a student athlete is injured and hurt in his or her senior year, you take care of them when they are done until they're healed. And we have the funding in place to do that. You don't touch anything else with the NCAA. You keep the academic requirements in place. The reality is those schools who offer 85 scholarships in football might or have made a different commitment, and that needs to be addressed, end quote. He also stated, now not in that quote, but he also said that he was just kind of throwing out an idea, but the idea was having the CFP, the College Football Playoff, create their own rules and kind of run college football away from the structure and the governance of the NCAA. Well, let's just break down how college football is right now. The NCAA does not sponsor D1 single A or FBS level football. They don't sponsor it. Now, there is a governance. These are NCAA student athletes, so they have to go by the NCAA rules, guidelines, clearinghouse, all of those things. The NCAA does not run anything with college football, so you won't see any NCAA branding at football games that Ohio State plays or Indiana plays or USC plays or UCLA plays or BYU plays or Miami of Ohio. You will not see any NCAA branding at those games. When it comes to the CFP, College Football Playoff, the literal playoff itself, you will see no NCAA branding. So the NCAA does affect the rules and sometimes regulations and sometimes health, but they don't really run the sport, but they still have a big influence. And my gripe with this, I do think the college football does not need to have the NCAA running it at all. I don't. But my thing with this is, college football, the playoff itself, the CFP, it's owned and ran by the conferences. And we all know in these conferences, the Big Ten, the SEC, the Pac-12, the Big 12, certain schools in said conferences have more pull, have more say-so than others. What Ohio State says and Gene Smith specifically say in the Big Ten holds way more weight than the athletic director or the president at the University of Illinois or the Indiana University or Purdue University or Maryland. It holds more weight. Now, Gene Smith has a phenomenal track record. He's done a lot of good things at Ohio State, so that all makes sense. But hear me out. You go to the SEC, Greg Sankey not only is a big influencer in the SEC, but a big influencer in college football, and is doing things that are against the rules that are set up in the country during a period of time to go behind people's backs to trying to get a pull and to trying to manipulate things in his favor for the SEC. You see what I'm saying? College football, to me, if it's ran by the conferences, we're going to be the same mess that it's been in for decades. Literal decades. How did we get here? Well, there were some times in the 70s and 80s and 90s and 2000s and 2010s and all the way into 2022 that the conferences can't agree on anything. Imagine a time when the Big Ten and the Pac-10 at the time were not available, were not a part of the chance to play in the national championship game in college football. That happened almost throughout the entire 90s. The first true national championship game, was in 1998, the 98 season. Let all of these things sink in when you're thinking about a sport that literally has conferences. And when the conferences that Gene Smith is talking about is these 10 conferences that make up the Group of Five and Power Five, then also Notre Dame, because Notre Dame is an independent, and those other independents would fall into this as well. But Notre Dame being the heftiest and the loftiest of those independents, they're going to be in the decision-making process. So if Gene Smith is saying, we want the CFP to run in college football and not the NCAA, I'm cool with that. Firmly agree that needs to happen. Firmly agree there needs to be a governing body outside of the NCAA that runs college football. Firmly believe there needs to be a college football commissioner and people in a cabinet-type environment. I firmly get that. But where I don't agree is that if he's saying that the CFP needs to run or should run college football. Now, he's saying he's just throwing ideas out there. I don't think he's just throwing ideas out there. He's trying to see if he could get some traction with these things so that in the future, if it goes down, he can, of course, be a decision maker. Just saying, like, you want to try to influence things that benefit you. But if you want the CFP to run things, buddy, we have seen these conferences for decades not be aligned, not agree on things. And what has it gotten us? A bigger mess than we thought we would be in right now in 2022. Break off from the NCAA. Oh, buddy, so be it. Go right ahead and do that very thing. But I don't think you firmly understand the detriment and the downfall and the problems that will come if these 10 conference commissioners are calling the shots aside from the NCAA. Let's just take 2020, for example. I'm not going to say certain words, but you know what words might come to your head when you think about what went down in 2020. The SEC, the Pac-12, the Big Ten, the ACC, and the Big 12 all had different rules, and that's just the Power Five. They all had a different decision-making process to try to figure out if they're going to come back to playing football. We all get on baseball. Baseball strikes. The owners and the players can't align. Imagine college football. We have another 2020 scenario, and these conference commissioners are in charge of deciding if they're going to play football or if they're not going to play football. We're in May at this point in time in this little scenario, and all of a sudden, May rolls around, June rolls around, July rolls around, and there's no answer. Could you imagine a strike of type of thing or a situation where there is a delay with the season starting because these conference commissioners can't align and can't get things right, and they are deciding not only the fate of their own conference playing football, but all of the conferences playing football at this level? Buddy, you want to see an uproar. Hoo-hoo-hoo-wee. That's an uproar right there. Dean Smith, CFP, breaking off from the NCAA and having college football have a different governance and no part of the NCAA, I'm here for it. But buddy, having the CFP, who is owned by the conferences, run college football? No, absolutely not. That is not something your boy will get on board with. What I will get on board with is how Chris Holtmann has somewhat filled off this roster. Now, that was a little rant that I planned on having. Didn't know it was going to be like it was just a minute ago, but I really just think college football, y'all got too many hands on a pie. Let's get things right. Now, let me get off that gravy train. I don't know why it's a gravy train. It was a song I heard recently that was from a guy named Young Gravy. Just recently heard about him because people at work talked about him, and they said this gravy train song, and I looked and listened to it. I was like, this guy's kind of weird. This guy's kind of interesting. I'm just saying, a little interesting there. But Chris Holtmann has filled off this roster with another transfer. This one coming from Oklahoma State. Does that sound familiar? Tanner McAllister, Oklahoma State, former Oklahoma State safety, is coming to Ohio State, transferred. Jim Knowles, former Oklahoma State defensive coordinator. This is basketball now, but he's still coming to Ohio State. And now, Isaiah Likely, 6'5" point guard from Oklahoma State, is now in Columbus as well. As I look at this roster and think about how Chris Holtmann has filled it and how Isaac Likely, his last name is spelled L-I-E-K-E-L-E. Listened to some broadcast and heard the commentator, play-by-play man, call out Likely's name, and so I believe I got it correct. He's a four-year player at Oklahoma State, a point guard, and a 6'5", 215 point guard isn't normal, not only in the pros, but also in college. I think about bigger, taller point guards, and I go back to my younger days and when I was in elementary school, middle school, high school. Some of you will remember these names as well. Gary Payton, 6'4". Jason Kidd, 6'4". Think about it. Dwayne Wade was 6'4", but he was a shooting guard. You don't normally find many 6'4" point guards, but I do think that skill set and some of that size and the height and the size with 215 and some of the things that Isaac Likely, now if I say Isaiah, it's an apology. I don't mean to do that. I heard it earlier. Someone mispronounced his name. I said, no, it's Isaac. So if it comes up, it's because that name Isaiah is already in my head. But Mr. Likely, what he brings to the court is something that I do believe will open up the passing lanes. It's something that I do believe will be very influential for people like Tanner Holden, Justice Suing, and Sean McNeil on the basketball court. Isaac Likely, he is somebody that can facilitate the offense, which is ultimately what you want your point guard to do. We're not going to deviate from that or say anything different, mainly because as a point guard, you're supposed to run the show, facilitate, orchestrate the offense so the ball consistently gets in the basket. One of the things I like from him is he can post up on the block, not post up and only get his own shot, but posting up and being able to pass. I saw him make a nice, crisp one-hand pass. If you're looking at the basketball court, at the half court line, looking in, he was on the left block, threw the ball out to the right corner, one-handed, three-point shot, wet, cash money, go back to the other end and play defense. That's not normal. I do think that Chris Holtman's realizing sometime the point guard play that you thought you were going to get with previous players was not what you eventually got. So therefore, you might need to change things up, and building through the transfer portal while also bringing in five freshmen, this could be a game changer. It's a possibility of being a game changer, not just for the record and the how deep the basketball team gets to the NCAA tournament, but also for Chris Holtman and his psyche and his coaching philosophy. I mean, there are sometimes forks in the road. There are sometimes things that help us improve to be the best that we could be. And I do think Isaac Likely, what he brings, is going to be huge for Ohio State. He can not only facilitate, post up on the block, he can rebound well. He's averaged 5.5 rebounds for his career. He has 110 starts while at Oklahoma State. So you're getting a guy that's seasoned, that's experienced, seen a lot of basketball. The Big 12 plays a good brand of basketball night in and night out. So it's not like he's someone that is playing at a mid-major that's now going to be transferring up and is not used to playing the high-level brand of major, high-level D1 basketball. This guy has played it all the time. 110 starts, 114 appearances at Oklahoma State in his four-year career. He has one more year left. We all know everybody gets an extra year for the COVID, and that's why Mr. Likely has one more year left for playing college basketball. For his career, 8.9 points per game, 3.9 assists a game, and 5.5 rebounds a game. That might not be sexy or appealing to you, but I do think it's ideal. Last year, he averaged 7.1 points per game, 3.4 assists a game, then also a whopping 5.5 rebounds per game as well. Another reason why I like this, kind of hinted at it earlier, but this allows Ohio State to play a brand of basketball where originally I thought they're going to have Justice Suing play the three in the starting lineup. I see a scenario that Justice Suing plays the four and more fits in tune to what other teams are doing in college basketball. Still think Zedekiah starts at the five, but Likely at the one, Tanner Holden or Sean McNeil at the two, Tanner Holden at the three, Justice Suing at the four, then Zedekiah at the five. You're not only going to get guys that are versatile and you're going to have a three-guard set, but you're also going to be able to switch 1-2-3 automatically on defense, which I do believe ultimately is a great way for Chris Holtman defensively to kind of ratchet up things defensively. Now, offensive philosophy, that has to change. But bringing in an experienced player like Isaac Likely, as well as Sean McNeil, adding him in with Justice Suing, who will be fresh to end his college basketball career with a bang. The basketball roster is full. And this is an addition that your boy likes. It's a Thursday. One more day left in the week. Planning on doing some, not player profiles, but looking ahead to the NFL and talking about certain NFL draft picks that were Buckeyes and looking ahead to see what they'll do in the future. Coming up in the near future in the National Football League, got some great, phenomenal guests coming up that you've heard here before. Can't say them just yet, but I do believe, stick around. You might hear some things about Chris Olave and Theron Mumford here on this show in the near future. You can follow me on Twitter at jstevens07. You can send all of your emails to jstevens317@gmail.com. Thank you for making Locked On Buckeyes your first listen or first watch of every single day. Now make sure to check out the Locked On Big Ten podcast, because that's the place for you to stay up to date and to get the proper analysis of what's going on inside the Big Ten Conference with expert Nate Dickinson. I am always there with Nate every Monday, but he has a great host of guests, co-host throughout the rest of the week. You can check out the Locked On Big Ten podcast, the same places you can check out Locked On Buckeyes, and they are both free and available wherever you get your fine podcast.